So we go on to the next thing here of considering the difficulty of getting a precious human life. Yeah, because this is a very important one, to understand the difficulty, the rarity, so that we get a sense of our life not only being precious, not only being meaningful, but also this is a very special occasion, you know? Yeah, because otherwise, if we don't really see our present opportunity as rare, we can very easily fall into the thing of, well, it'd be nice to practice Dharma, but I don't really feel like it, so I'll do it next lifetime. You think you procrastinate now. So we can get a little kind of complacent and laid back. And so this meditation is to help us realize that actually what we have now is quite special and quite rare, and it's difficult to get it again, so better use it now. Yeah. So there's three ways to see that. One is to see whether a precious human life is easy to get from the viewpoint of, is it easy or difficult to create the causes for it? And then the second way is through analogies, looking and seeing if it's easy or difficult. And then the third, from the viewpoint of its nature, or from the numbers of beings that have precious human lives. So through all these three ways, we can see that it's difficult and rare. So from the viewpoint of the cause, okay? Now, to create the cause for a precious human life, we need three principal causes. First one is good ethical behavior, good ethical conduct, because that creates the cause for us to get a human body. Then we need to do the other far-reaching attitudes, generosity, patience, joyous effort, concentration, and wisdom, because that ripens our mind so it gives us all the other qualities of a precious human life. And then we need to dedicate all of our positive potential and make very, very strong prayers to have a precious human life in the future. Because you see, if we create a lot of positive potential, but we don't dedicate it, it can get destroyed by anger, or maybe it'll ripen and we'll get reborn in a god realm and have super duper sense pleasure for a few eons, and then it's all over and we're back where we started again. So it's really important to, you know, dedicate it so that our karma ripens in a dharma way. Okay? Now, let's go back to this first one of ethics, and let's see, is it easy or difficult to keep good ethics? In other words, is it easy or difficult to create, you know, one of the principal causes for getting a precious human life? Well, okay, we think of the 10 destructive actions. Yeah, killing, stealing, unwise sexual conduct. Is it easy or difficult to be patient? Somebody comes up and insults us. What's our usual reaction? Yeah? Somebody cheats us. What's our usual reaction? Yeah? So we can see it's really difficult. Yeah? What about joyous effort, taking delight in doing constructive actions? How much of a sense of delight do we have, and how much of a sense of drudgery do we have? And then concentration. I don't know about you, but for me, scratching, you know, what concentration? That was really hard. And wisdom. Yeah? How much time do we even put in the day cultivating our wisdom? Yeah? So we kind of look at these things. Is it easy to create ethics? Is it easy or difficult to do the far-reaching attitudes? Now, what is our habitual behavior right now? What actions do we do very well, and which ones don't we? And we really begin to see, you know, it's difficult to create the cause. So what we have now is really a miracle. So let's use it wisely. And let's really get ourselves together. And considering that we have this potential to become a Buddha, considering that we have this inner beauty, why waste it? Yeah, let's put our energy into really creating the causes for precious human rebirth and for enlightenment. Okay. And then we can also see from the viewpoint of analogies that it's very difficult to get a precious human rebirth. So here in the scriptures, we have the lovely story about the tortoise. Okay? So there's this huge, vast ocean. There's one tortoise. Okay? He's blind. He's usually at the bottom of the ocean. He comes up once every 100 years. Okay? Got the picture? There's a golden yoke. Float, you know, a golden, what do you call it that kids play with? Inner tube? There's a golden inner tube, we'll update the story, floating on the ocean. Yeah? What, and at what chance does this tortoise have coming up once every 100 years and being blind to stick his head through the inner tube when the tube's floating here and there and he's going here and there and he can't see where anything is? Pretty difficult, huh? Especially when you think of the ocean so vast, and you know, sometimes he might be thousands of miles away. Sometimes he might be only a foot away, but still it doesn't matter. You missed it. Yeah, so try again after another 100 years. The way the analogy relates is the ocean is like the ocean of cyclic existence. Okay? The tortoise is like us. And being at the bottom of the ocean is like being born in all the unfortunate realms, all the situations where it's really very, very difficult and much confusion and pain. Coming up once every 100 years is like getting a good rebirth. Okay? And that's not even a precious human rebirth. Just coming up to the surface, that's like getting a human, any kind of human rebirth, or being reborn as a god or a demigod. You just come up, you're only up there for a second, then you go down again, okay? And the golden yoke, the golden inner tube, that's great, the golden inner tube, made by Mattel. the golden inner tube is the Buddha's teachings, yeah? And so the Buddha's teachings, it's floating. It goes from place to place. It goes from Tibet to the West and from India to China and from Sri Lanka to Thailand, all over the place. It's never stationary. Yeah. So this golden inner tube is going around. You know, the Buddha's teachings keep changing places. Here we are, this blind being, blinded by our own ignorance, blinded by all of our misconceptions. We usually, in all the unfortunate realms, we come up to the surface once every 100 years, and putting our head through that golden yoke of the Buddha's teachings is getting a precious human life. Yeah. When you really sit there and meditate on this analogy, it gives us some sense of, wow, you know, if I pinch myself, do I really have this opportunity now? We really see how precious it is. So when you're doing meditation on this, you would really sit there and, you know, create the whole scene and look at the tortoise going here and there and the teachings here and there and everything. And then, you know, think about how it relates to us in cyclic existence. And you really come out with the feeling of our life being very, very special. And again, a renewed feeling of how important it is to use it. Use it wisely. And then the third way to see if it's rare or not to have a precious human life is to look at the numbers of beings that have precious human lives. Okay? Now, what's the population of America now? More than 250 million, isn't it? I mean, it's, who knows how much. How many beings in America have precious human lives? There's a lot of human lives. How many have precious human lives? Yeah. And even within America, if you compare the number of human beings to the number of animals and insects, yeah. I mean, it's just astounding. I mean, just you take Seattle, the number of human beings versus the number of animals and insects. I mean, so many little spiders and ants, cockroaches and beetles and butterflies and caterpillars and, you know, and the dogs and cats and cows and everything else. I mean, so many animals. Yeah. Animals, insects really outnumber the human beings. Yeah. And amongst the human beings, those with precious human lives are even fewer. So you see, you start comparing the numbers of precious human lives to human beings, to animals, to all of the other beings in all the other realms of samsara. And, it, you know, it's like a very, very small number that have precious human lives. It's really difficult to get. So they say that one time the Buddha kind of bent down in India, you know, and he scooped up like a little bit of dust on his fingernail. And he said, the number of beings who have an upper rebirth, this isn't even a precious human life, but a fortunate rebirth, are like the dust on my fingernail, and the number of beings who have unfortunate rebirth is like all the dust in the whole world. Yeah? And when we think like this, and, you know, just think in terms of numbers, it really sinks into us more and more. This opportunity is really rare, really difficult to get. And so again, this feeling comes up, I must use it wisely, and, you know, I really want to get myself together. Not waste it, not waste the opportunity.